it to sort of take a back seat, to sort of not be seen and not heard, this kind of a thing. So, I mean, until
culture starts to address that issue of treating the two, male, female, as equals and having equal abilities and should have actually access to equal opportunities, I think we're really fighting an uphill battle. So there's a lot of pieces that go into that, and certainly from the education side, if we had a gender-balanced syllabus where our textbooks even showed pictures of women leaders, I've got one sitting here on my right. I don't know which textbooks Maggie appears in, but certainly, you know, I mean, let women who have done stuff actually be featured in the school curriculum as well, which I don't believe is the case necessarily, or at least not to the level that it should be as we speak today.
Got it. Let me also ask a follow-up question to you. What role do multinationals play in, or should I ask it this way, do the CSR divisions of the multinational have a role to play in counterbalancing this cultural notion that women have to be seen and not heard? And, you know, because I think it's important in pulling out the women and empowerment, say, you do have a role, we actually want to access you. Is it really a civic responsibility of these organizations, or is it simply us, from a culture side, who need to shift our perspective?
To be honest, I think it's everyone's responsibility. Yeah, because if you can't really put that burden on the corporates. It's great if they play their part, but again, they still have to navigate through a system that is embedded in culture. Right. And we, the people, are the ones responsible for being the custodians of that. So I think we all have a role to play, and it's not going to be a one solution solves the whole thing. It's going to be everyone playing their part. I mean, including media. My favorite target is the media, always to say, hey, media people, if you're in the room, can we start putting more positive images of women out there and celebrating women's successes and actually having media that promotes what women are doing? Because if I am in a village and I see a woman, you know, doing something fantastic, I will be motivated to go ahead and, you know, I know it's possible because I see someone who looks like me actually doing it. So if even our entertainment, entertainment, the songs, the plays, the movies, the whatever, let's start showing women in positive roles and doing things that, you know, the next generation can actually look up to and follow. So I think it's everybody's responsibility, and certainly the corporates have a role, yes, but it's not their job to do that. We all have a part to play.
Got it. Thank you. So who in the audience is a musician? Any musicians? So my point is, when someone needs to write a song about money, he goes, do you all agree as a role model?
Yes.
Okay. So I would like to now move on to summary with your HR background, and as someone who is as a lady in HR at a corporate. Are hiring practices different when there is a lady in control, in a position of control, to be able to determine hiring practices and set standards versus if there is a man?
When it comes to, I'll say, the market, I'll put it in the instance of the multinational setting, mostly everything is based on we need results, we need to see a certain result come out. So whether it is a lady or a gentleman doing the job, at the end of it, or within a predefined time, they need a certain something, they have a request. I mean, it is a standard that at the end of it, I need to see so many people filling up this position with this particular kind of skill. So the bonus is for women, naturally that's the way God made us. We tend to reach out a little more in terms of how the person feels. We tend to empathize with people a little more than gentlemen do. And I always tell people, you'll get the best machinery, you'll get the best standards in place, but when you have the wrong people within a certain position, then you will not get what you expect. And if you don't treat people the right way, then you're still going to get people the way. I mean, there's a certain person to do what they have got to do. So women, we tend to be looked at as minors. Okay? Someone, it's easier for an employee as well to approach a lady who is an HR person when they have a certain issue that's stopping them from doing their work. I'll take an example. I get so many people who come in and they have issues at home. I mean, this is home. I don't expect you to bring it to work. But the thing is, he's not going to do his job because he has an issue at home. Generally, it's easier for someone to go to a lady and say, I have this issue. Is there a way you can help me out? Compared to if it is a gentleman in that position, correct me if I'm wrong. But I think with time we have got to see that we tend to be treated as a mother. I can approach a mother, tell her what my situation is. And if she can't help me then, like I'll take an example of work, Melbourne and Renzori. If I'm not able to resolve your issue, I can easily refer you to a counselor or someone who can help you take you through that issue that you are going through. So basically I would say for ladies, in human resource positions, I think that's a bonus. Although a guy can do it, but I would say for a lady it is something extra.
Is that to the benefit of women who are trying also to join the workforce?
I think I would look at it that way. I think it's time women we stop looking at ourselves as victims and we started looking at ourselves as I can do that. I'll keep referring to Maggie. I mean, she has done it. I can be a Maggie of tomorrow, even where you are. You can be a cleaner, but look at it and say, I'll set myself a target. I can go where she has been. So if you stop looking at yourself as a victim, as society has victimized us as women, and you tell yourself, I can push that, I can push for that, I can work hard. Sometimes you go to work twice as much as the man has to do. I mean, for you to be able to be noticed, you have done something. But that doesn't mean that's going to stop you from doing what you've got to do.
All right, thank you so much. And let's end, well, I'll end my question where I started, with Dr. Maggie Kigozi. For those in the audience that are trying to go where you went and to accomplish what you did and to overcome the obstacles that you overcame, what advice would you give them right here in this room if this was you so many years ago also trying to rise up?
Thank you, Teddy. There were some advantages I had that I hope you can give your daughter. If you didn't have them, you can give it to your daughter. Just love her. Just love her totally. Whatever she does, what she does wrong, it's fine. I think I had that. So when you tell me you don't like me, I simply don't believe you. Because everybody loves me. Full stop. That gives you the confidence to walk into a room because, of course, everybody loves you. You know? So, okay, maybe you didn't get it, maybe you did. But keep her the confidence from home. Secondly, what does she want to do? Ride a bike, please. That's not for boys. Ride the bike, climb a tree, great. Up you go, get a pair of jeans. Up she goes. Our mothers were not. I was lucky. I had a tomboy mother. But many of you did not. So, kneel down? Out of the question. Please. Who's kneeling to who? My women entrepreneurs, some of you are here. I have made sure I invited them for presidential investor roundtable. Great. They were doing business, communicating with those big guys from abroad. President and Mrs. Museveni walks in. Maria, were you there? They were down on the floor. The next day I told them, you do that again, you'll never be invited back here. And you are doing business on the floor. Please, balance your culture. Go back home new to your husband. Great. Do that. Please do that. Don't do it while doing business. Okay? What else? Education. Knowledge is power. And I don't mean go and get your PhD. No. Know things. Come here. This is great. You're here because you want to know. No. Knowledge is power. And in the workforce, I think HR would agree with me. Knowledge is really, really power. Now with the internet, just Google. Just Google. You know tomorrow the meeting is going to be about this topic. Go in there and you know more than anyone else around that table. Women who don't know will be quiet. won't you? If you don't know something, do you talk about it? No. And how do you appear? You appear as though you cannot compete. But if you know, however quiet you are by nature, and our problem is we're quiet by nature, by culture, as I think was suggested here, it's culture. You tend to be quiet. But if you know, sit near the CEO. Why are you the one sitting at the other end? That's the norm. What else? So, knowledge. You're in business, know your sector. Know your sector inside out. Get entrepreneurship skills training. Get all the training you need. Opportunities, you're here, and that's because you're the right kind of people. So, all those. Stand out. Stand out because you're confident, because you know, and because you're smart. Look as good as you can. I mean, God gave you something, but you can add to it, and you can, you know. Look as good as you can. I don't mean be a fashion model, no, but, you know.
Represent. Look great.
Yeah?
Yeah. Okay, thank you so much for our panelists. I want to open up, but we have plenty of time as scheduled. We have plenty of time for Q&A, and I know you have lots of questions. We have four extremely intelligent, extremely well-experienced ladies here on the panel. Looking forward to very passionate, curious discussion. So I want to see some hands. First one that went up was out in the back. And microphone is there. And I'll stand up so I can walk around and provide this to whichever panelists the questions are targeted at.
Hi, thank you all for being here. My name is Katie. My question is, I've heard a lot of people talk about the individual responsibility we have as women to kind of transcend the gender role and move beyond it and put ourselves out there, which I agree is true. However, I think that, you know, we have to acknowledge that all of this is socially constructed and that, you know, for thousands of years, that's why we act. Thousands of years of conditioning, that's why men are supposed to act how they act now and women are supposed to act how they act now. So I'm wondering what can be done at the more macro level to start to break down some of that social construction, maybe by multinationals, maybe by people running empowerment programs. What can be done at the bigger level so it's not just incumbent on every individual woman to do her best, but so that women as a whole feel like they have opportunities and like they can pursue those opportunities.
Okay. Excellent question. Who would like to tackle that first? Okay, here you go.
Thank you very much. I think also like an example of male workers and reserve water. Like I said, we have a standard that we require from anyone supplying. It doesn't matter whether male or female. But we have noticed that women tend to want to do things the right way. And most of our suppliers, I'll say, it's basically agriculture. The biggest part of it is agriculture, not limited to, but in agriculture. And we have seen a number of challenges that women face in terms of that. We know that they are the ones who are involved in the later stages of production. Let's say it's about the packaging and the post-production of the goods or let's say the crops that they have to, whatever products that have to be brought in. So as an laborer, like my colleague talked about earlier, we have involved our suppliers. We have told them this is what we require as a service level agreement. If you are to bring in a crop, this is what we require you to do. The best way you are going to do that is by doing this and that and that and giving some form of training. We have recruited extension officers. They work hand in hand with most of these farmers. So we know that at the end of it, we will get a product that is acceptable to us. And then we also do supplier audits. We know that we have set a standard, we've asked you to do this. At the beginning, we sat down with you and showed this is what we expect. Then we do supplier audits. If we notice that there is something missing, then we ask you what is wrong with this, what is not working out, then you can come back to us and tell us this is what is not working and what can we do about it. Then also we look at the social aspect. We know that HIV/AIDS is something that is really
existent amongst us. So we have reached out. We've gone a step further and say, we know that HIV/AIDS exists. As Mayor Burris, together with the corporate affairs team, we can do this. We have come up with HIV/AIDS programs. We have taken the burden away from the women because we know that the ones who take care of their ailing relatives, and then they take care of the children who are victims of more, like not really victims, but they are orphans from parents who had HIV/AIDS. So we're going to step further to say, as a woman, let's take that extra step. We have involved the women to be more like peer educators. There is, we've partnered with HIPS to have a program, HIV/AIDS program, to be able to empower the woman to do what she can do best, be able to make some money. Let's take the burden away from you, a little bit of the burden away from you. We can take care of the fact that you have children. We have, there are lots of programs. There is a sponsorship program for children of farmers who have done very well. So we tend to take a bit of that away from you. Not that we're going to take away the whole problem, but we try to give solutions and we go back and audit what we have given you, the resources we've given you, so that we're able to put together what we've given you and whether you're using it to the purpose that we have set out to do.
Okay, thank you. I think on the macro level, some of the things that we can do to address the gender issue, We already talked about a syllabus that actually takes a gender-balanced approach to the education system, and also talked already about the media. But I think the moderator had asked the question earlier about, is there something that corporates can do through CSR? And actually, I thought about that a bit more, and I think the answer is not... I don't think it's a CSR issue. It's actually a business issue, because if you section it off as a CSR issue, then again, it sort of diminishes the value. And so women are coming in just as a CSR initiative, but it needs to be done because it makes business sense. And the reason you do it is because it's good for the business. So let's not water it down and call it a CSR initiative, but it's actually because it makes sense for the business, because these ladies, like Naya Burris has just said, actually do meet the quality standards and are trying even harder than the guys, the gentlemen, to actually make sure that they meet the standards. So it needs to be pursued for as a good thing to do for business. Just like we're trying to promote the increased advancement of women into the executive ranks of corporations and onto boards, because it makes business sense to do, not because we're giving the women a handout. So we need to take that business approach. However, much as we're taking the business approach, there are standards still that need to be met. And sometimes, because of the background, women do not actually have the standard. But my thing is, if people have potential, then they should be given the support. And a lot of the business linkage programs that actually have worked, in fact, most of the success stories that I have seen, without question, always have an element of skills, knowledge, and transfer. And even Nina Breweries has quoted what they do to actually help bring a person on board. So always there is that, if they have the potential, help them get there to achieve. Okay? But more importantly, we still need to be singing the song about, you know, I can do it just as well as you can, and maybe even better. I think one other point I'd like to make on that is we could actually also push government for affirmative action in procurement and say, you know, like they do in the US, the US has a diversity supplier program where actually government is mandated by law. If you're a government outfit, you need X percent of your business needs to come from minority suppliers. So we could make that, we could push for that here to make sure that we are represented, but not just to fill a quota. The women who get in there must be women who qualify and actually meet the standard.
And I think on top of that, the private sector players should increase their lobbying to access of finance to women business. Yes, in partnership with the CSOs. I think that will also help to help the micro.
At the macro level, bigger level change. Of course, education is key.
Uganda has now come with a new program of skilling Ugandan. Very short courses, focused. I think that will make a huge difference. But also education, ensure at least 51% of whoever's in the institution is female. The issue of family planning, we are really affected. If you have 10 children in 10 years, I don't know what job you're going to be doing. There's no way you're going to do that. And yet family planning is not really available to all the women to whom it should be available. It's available to about 30%, and it's even very expensive. So that is key. We need to lobby government to make sure that's available. Sanitary towels for girls in school. Girls drop out because of a sanitary towel. Can you imagine? They drop out of school. So those are big things that we can do. Female leaders as role models. I think I really appreciate the role my president has played. We have a speaker who's a woman. We have a minister of finance who's a woman. A minister of education who's a woman. A minister of trade who's a woman. Agriculture. No, she's health. So the most important ministry is energy, is a woman. What a message that sends to the corporates. Women can do it in the public sector. They can do it in the private sector.
Ladies and gentlemen, before we continue with the Q&A, we would like to acknowledge in our presence Honorable Annelie Ann I'm sorry, not used to the names, my apologies. Having been born to Mr. Sawano K. Kolubia and Miss Mary, oh boy, they gave me all the wrong, the tough names.
Kapurenka.
On June 1955 in Guildford, Surrey, UK. She relocated to Uganda as a child in 1959 and married Mr. William Kyambadde. And together are blessed with 6 children and 1 child, and 1 grandchild. May I invite you here to the front for a few comments?
Just to say hello.
Well, I was reluctant to say a few comments because I wanted to listen in first. So I'm honored to be here. I'm honored to associate with this kind of room for women and a few men. I'm also proud to be a woman. I love successful women because I know they struggle to get there. So I think I'll make my comments later, isn't it?
Yes.
So I greet all of you and I'm going to sit in for some time. Thank you.
Before we go on, and I know, I'll get to you. I just wanted to welcome everyone who's joining us on our live stream. And if you are tweeting, please, the hashtag is IWDUG2013. Please continue sharing messages and the lesson learned here as we continue with the Q&A with this great panel. I know you were back there. Anne, can we pass the microphone? Right behind you.
Okay, hello, my name is Elaine, and I'm glad to be part of this forum where we're sharing about bridging the gap, especially in the supply chain with multinationals. From what I've heard in the different discussions, I think there's a general lack in Uganda as a whole. There are things that have come up. We found out that Nile Breweries has told us that 70% of the farming that's done is done by women. They have realized that. Also, they found out that there are other organizations where we found out that there's a lack of quality as general, not only women, but in the whole country. So given from what Katie was asking about the macro level, I think there's a lack of dialogue between the multinationals and our education sector or any other place that is giving us those skills. I would wish there would be a dialogue, not for the short term, but for the long term of changing our behavior. I think our culture is we don't keep time, we don't have quality, and if we ask the Nile breweries, I don't know who their farmers are. Are they the people who dropped out in P7? Are they the ones who dropped out in O-level? Are they the ones who have masters? Maybe we are targeting our skilling to the wrong level, and our education system, our cultural systems are not giving us what we want out of us. So for the long term, mine is a suggestion. Multinationals should look at what the gap is. What's the gap? Less women, poor quality. Can there be a serious dialogue? It may not be short term, it may be 5 to 10 years, but can we change our culture in the long term by focusing on what we want the suppliers to give us? And if they're P7 dropouts, when do we give them this information? I think our education in primary does not skill even all the general public. So even though we say talk to your girls at home, talk to the families at home, we are only touching a few people, yet there are places or there are organs that can touch a larger group.
Okay, thank you. I think this was right in line with what you were saying in your comments, as well as the comments on education. Actually, really, and what the old people were saying, and what needs to be done from a cultural, from a CSR standpoint, from an education level. A few more questions, please. Yes, ma'am. Right here, I'll give you my microphone.
Thank you very much. My name is once again Anubrechina Nakayega. This issue is requiring concerted efforts and multiple sectoral approach from my viewpoint. From the education point of view, I've been observing the girls, by the way, even the boys, in the higher institutions of learning. The way they think about business, it is really at a very myopic level. If you challenge them to go out and look at the resources we have and come back with a business idea, they will just tell you what the rural woman would tell you. Huh? And you know it is annoying. They talk of a kiosk, a saloon. And that's all. And you ask them, okay, if you're doing piggery, what else can you add? You know, to buy the fees. Are you going to process? Are you going to think of what has not been done now? I ask them sometimes, those who come from the cattle areas, and ask them the challenges they face during the drought. Of course, look for that. Then I take them outside to look at the grass, come back with a business idea. I will grow the grass. But can you think of something else, like making the hay and supplying it? So they can't even go with the business plan to push them ahead. So what is the problem? We need really to fight. See that our education system helps these young, growing people, boys and girls, to see things differently in an entrepreneurship mind. I was listening to Juliana Kanyumos yesterday, and she was saying, Namasagari shaped her. Huh? Do we have such schools which make our girls to become entrepreneurs, live alone in our homes, whereby we, even up to now, a girl in the university is still asking for a pant and a bra from us? We need to do something.
Any comments from the panelists?
Only to agree.
I think they agree with you. Yes.
My name is Tumsimi Jackley, and I'm a dance entrepreneur. What we do at Autumn Ventures Africa is develop dance.